I'm aware of the fact that we have very few notices left at the end. It's Psalm 127. So if you would want to turn in your Bibles or whatever to this psalm, we're going to look at this psalm in a moment. Let's read it through or look through it. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. Sons are heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Thanks be to God for his word to us this evening. Familiar words, and perhaps less familiar words. Familiar words at the beginning. Unless the Lord build the house, the builders labor in vain. No doubt we've heard that on more than one occasion. Yet when we look down further, we see some less familiar words. In vain you rise up early. Well, when I read that again, I thought, oh, terrible. Because I like to rise up early. In vain I rise up early. I like nothing better than to get up early and to get up and to walk along the beach on a lovely, glorious morning that we've had these last few weeks into months. But actually, looking at it, we read that out of context. And it's important, I think, when we look at the psalm to put it into its context. It is one of the pilgrim psalms. It is about building the house. Last Sunday, when we were thinking about the evangelical aspect of Christian life, the Bible-based, the Bible-believing, and the outcome of that in sharing in evangelism, the evangelical base. In my reading, or one of my readings for that day, I read something from D.L. Moody. And this is what D.L. Moody wrote. Now, I am no prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but one thing I can predict. Every one of you new converts that goes to studying his Bible and loves this book above every other book is sure to hold on. The world will have no charm for him. He will get the world under his feet. What Moody was saying, basically, and that, some very sound advice, that when we direct people to Christ and bring people into that saving knowledge of Jesus, we need to encourage them to spend time in God's Word, in his book. Because what Moody is suggesting quite strongly is if they do that, they will not wander away. The world will have no attraction to them. And then he goes on to say, I find great many people who want to share some evidence that they have accepted the Son of God. My friends, if you want any evidence, take God's word for it. You can't find better evidence than that. When a man is filled with the word of God, you cannot keep him still. If a man has got the word, he must speak or die. How important the word of God is to us. And I think it's a timely reminder when we come to Psalm 127 that here in this psalm, the Word of God speaks to us. It speaks to us, I think, predominantly about building a Christian home and indirectly building a Christian home in the life of the church. So whatever we build in Christian home contexts applies equally in the life of the church. So it has a double sense or double meaning, if you wish to. But thinking about a Christian home, As I looked at this psalm, I saw it broke down, I thought, into three parts. Surprise, surprise. And the first part of the psalm, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. That, I believe, gives us the Lord's purpose. And then the second part of the first verse and into verse 2, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those whom he loves. I see that as the Lord's protection. His purpose, his protection. And the remainder of the psalm, from verse 3 to the end, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. I see that as the Lord's provision. Or you might say, the home is furnished by the Lord. It gives us something within the home, which is... So first of all, looking at the idea of God's purpose, founded by the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders are in vain. And one is immediately reminded of what Jesus talked about when he talked about building a house upon the rock or the sand. How important is that? Every time we had American visitors at Stocksfield, I managed to persuade a good friend of mine who was a guide, an official guide, a paid guide for Durham Cathedral and the area around Durham Cathedral and the castle. And Graham always took our visitors to that point at the riverside where you could look up to the cathedral and to the castle. And he always used to say, one of those two is built on rock and the other is built on sand. Which one? And needless to say, the cathedral is built on rock and the castle is actually built on sand. It's actually moving. Now, I know that illustration has gone right across the United States as a clear illustration to what Jesus was saying about building in the right kind of way. Edith Schaeffner, in her book, What is Family?, writes a lovely description of the richness and yet the complexity of family life. Because family life isn't straightforward. There are ups and downs, there are difficulties. And this is what she writes. Memories, trust, loyalty, compassion, kindness, in honor, preferring each other, depending on each other, looking to each other for help, giving each other help, picking each other up, suffering long with each other's faults, understanding each other more and more, hoping all things, enduring all things, never failing, continuity, a family knowing always that if a thread wears thin and sags, there's help to be had from the expert, the father of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. A godly home is the purpose of God. And you know, in the first steps in building a home, of course, is marriage. coming together to build that home. And the Bible gives us clear evidence of the importance of a Christian marriage and having a Christian partner. Now, Miriam and I have lived in 3 houses in our married life. And in buying those 3 houses, the Lord's hand has been clearly seen in quite remarkable ways on each occasion. And we just thank Him for that. It was God's will and God's plan. Recently, we had a builder in the house, been having some work done. And it was at the time when Miriam was preparing for the NBA assembly and making soup and scones. And this builder was quite curious as to what she was doing in the kitchen, come in and having a look. What, you're making soup for over 100 people? You're making scones in the same sort of way, and he wanted to know what was going on. It's amazing what happens as a result of those sort of conversations. He said to me, when the problems started occurring, and there were some serious problems, he said, I've got to get it right. I've got to get it right, David. I can't come against God in this situation. And so he thought, actually, in this home, the home which has Jesus as Lord quite clearly stated, which is actually his Catholic concept. He was from a Catholic background, lapsed Catholic by every way and Irish connections, but somewhere had this understanding of that he had to get it right because, you know, God was in this situation. Unless the Lord builds the house. And then secondly, fended by the Lord or protected by the Lord. We can know the Lord's protection. Unless the Lord watches over the city, his watchmen guard in vain. We can know divine protection. God's purpose is in that divine protection. The Institute for Economics and Peace released recently its 2016 Global Peace Index, ranking the nations in terms of safety. Iceland, believe it or not, is the most peaceful nation on earth. But 79 countries in the world are less peaceful than they were in the previous year. Syria is the most dangerous. No surprises with that. Overall, the report said, global levels of peace continue to deteriorate. Deaths from terrorism increased by 80% from last year. Terrorism is also at an all-time high. Battle deaths from conflict are at a 25-year high. And the number of refugees and displaced people are at a level not seen in 60 years. Such is this international report on the state of peace throughout the world. Knowing we have God's protection is important. You know, one of the greatest sadnesses, I believe, of the British Church is that we have come to the conclusion we're living at peace, when in fact we're not. We're at war. We've come to the conclusion we are civilians, when in fact we are soldiers in a battle. We need to be reminded in that context that as we are soldiers in a battle, we go with the Lord's protection. Twice a week, Miriam and I pick up our grandchildren from school. We try not to be late, but we know that if we are late, Holly and Max will not be too worried about that. They'll just stand and wait. Now, there's a difference between waiting and hoping we will come, and waiting and knowing we will come. They wait and know we will come. They don't wait and hope that we'll come. They wait and know that we'll come. And a child learns from experience, his parents, and in our case, grandparents, our trustworthiness. Christians learn about God's faithfulness. He keeps his promises. The Bible records a record, a continual record, of God's faithfulness to his people over many ways. He always keeps his promises, and he's true to his word. The Christian home is divinely founded and divinely fended or protected. And thirdly, the Christian home is divinely furnished by the Lord. Because the last part of the psalm tells us the way in which God's furnishing our homes. C.T. Studd said, "Children are God's rewards." Now, we've been blessed with the fact that we've got three sons. I clash particularly with one of them. Not the other two, but one of them in particular. Miriam always says there's a reason for this. We're too alike. And where things are too alike, you clash. So we clash regularly and recognize it. And I'm well aware that he thinks in the way that I often think. There's often that commonality between us. When Peter was first married to Tommy, she was earning very little, having just entered university again to do a doctorate. And therefore, Peter was supporting her in that particular aspect in her road to become a psychologist. This was their first years of married life. He did say to me on one occasion, though, he said, "Don't worry, Dad. I think she's a good long-term investment." And I knew where he was coming from, because I thought the same for Miriam. Although in her case, it was a good initial investment. Because when we were first married, she was earning a lot more money than I was. So it was a good initial investment. So we had something in common. In both our cases, we'd married Christians. And I've got to say, as with our three sons, they also have married Christian young ladies. One of my greatest pleasures and privileges was that each of their wedding services, I was allowed to pray for them. And it was a great joy to be able to do that. To see God's house builded and founded. I'm sorry if I'm using a family illustration or a personal illustration there to illustrate this particular point. I just follow on from that guidance given by Stuart Briscoe at Keswick, who always used to use his family as illustrations, to the extent that he said that his family demanded royalties when they were being used so often in illustrations. Thank granted tonight, none of them are here and can do the same for me tonight. But a divinely founded home is God's purpose. Says the psalmist, we can know his protection. And he does provide for us in our family life. Particularly, the psalmist says, in children. The blessings of a family life. Jesus is Lord. Lord of our homes. The first doctor to die of AIDS in this country was a young Christian who had contacted the disease while doing some medical research in Zimbabwe. In the last days of his life, he struggled to express himself, particularly to his wife, as he lay dying of AIDS. And he couldn't talk. And he only had strength just to write one letter. And that letter was J. His wife ran through a mental dictionary, trying various words to understand what this J was. The beginning with J. None was right. Finally, she said, "Jesus." And he nodded. "Yes. Jesus." Jesus filled his thoughts. That's all he wanted to say. And that's all his wife wanted to hear. We don't have all the answers to life, but we have Jesus. Jesus, who existed before the world began. And as we read the Christmas story again, the beginning of John's Gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus, who entered human history. Jesus, who died for us, who rose from the dead, who lives forevermore to intercede for us. Jesus, who is coming again in power and glory. Even when we don't understand the world around us, and at times we don't understand what's going on, we have J. We have Jesus. And Advent reminds us so much of that and his coming. We have Jesus. Let's sing together our final hymn, which is "My Jesus, My Savior."